Hey, it's Schmitty with another podcast, Talking Schmidt, the one that I do, actually. That's what we're here for. Today on the program, we have the great San Diegan, Sharikan Shannon. Haven't talked to him in many, many years. It's been a while. So I'm looking forward to catching up with old Sharikan. As always, we do have a podcast that you can listen to anywhere that you get your podcast, Spotify, Anchor, Apple, etc. And we're also on YouTube. So if you want to tap in and look at some visuals, you can do that as well. We're at youtube.com Talking Schmidt. Please subscribe and please spread the word. We're here for you and we're free. Monday through Sunday is the new Tuesday. I never know when these are coming out. I just do them and put them out now. Hope you enjoy the rave reviews are in. Keith Meek was fucking epic. Aaron Meza, Jesus Christ. People are loving the 2024 guests. McKenny's out there tapping in. He said 23, not that great. 24 is going to be epic. So we're fucking hyped. And every week so far, I think I've mentioned this, but I got to go get lunch and hear the story from Melissa about her Thrasher cover, and big props on that Death Wish. Baker has a new Death Wish video. It was tight, a lot of good skating, and the homies came through.
Yes, we are.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard.
Blood Wizard.
Blood Wizard.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Other than that, here's my guest.
All right, this is Sharikan Shannon and you're tuning in to Talking Schmidt. And let's get talking.
A little bit of intro.
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool. Like, tonight is the night.
When you bring it, you gotta sing it.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Bo Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
The Dodgers.
Big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmitty?
You wanna break in, you gotta get broke in.
And it's good to hear all this love.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Who sent you?
Dude, we need a magazine.
Black skateboarding history is very important.
Yes. This is the moment.
Holy shit.
What is happening?
Let's hear it for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
All right, everybody, we're back with another episode, and today we got a real good one. I haven't talked to this dude in a while, so I'm super hyped to, you know, also catch up, but also educate y'all on who he is. And this is the one, the only. This is Sharikan Shannon. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, everything's well, you know, living and keep it moving and pushing.
Where are we at? OB, MB, SD proper?
all regional SD and shit. Yeah, I'm down in La Mesa, though. I'm down East County right now and shit. So,
oh, okay.
Ish, but yeah. La Mesa, I've been over here for a while and shit. So, you know, holding it down, staying grounded, more or less.
Okay. Fuck yeah. Tell me about the name Sharikan. I think I know a little bit, like your dad was into martial arts, right? And Sharikan, was it mean?
Yeah. My dad was super into martial arts, and he was a teacher for shit, a good like 40 something years, on the school in downtown San Diego for forever. And then I think that's where my name kind of sparked. It's it's Japanese and it means ninja star. So it's like one of those throwing stars and shit, you know.
Bah, yeah. We used to fuck with those as kids. They're so sick. The metal ones, you just sing and get them to stick in the walls.
Oh, yeah. Always so fun and shit. So, yeah, that's where my name originated from. And, yeah, just embraced it ever since, you know.
Okay, so I got a little story for you. I hit up Chet Childress, and I was like, Chet, I'm going to interview Sharikan. What do you got? Like, you got something cool? And he's like, dude, I don't know, man. It's just a good skate shop. Like, I was like, no, dude, not Shrunken Head, Sharikan Shannon.
Mon Devon, living on the run, sucker.
That's so good. You're like, well, Chet, you don't know me? You don't remember me, bro? I think we used to ride for the same team, I think. You remember that? yeah, that's fucking a comedy. That's so comedy. Yeah, they get the mix-ups and shit, you know, shrunken head, I know, right?
Well, but what are some of your nicknames that you've had through the years?
Oh, shit, dude. Run those. Let's see. Shit can. Let's see. Fucking skid mark. I don't know. Some fools are fucking mean and shit. sure I can. Or what was it? Oh, Dukin. Yeah, the fucking Street Fighter move. These heads, but you know, all in good fun.
Wow, yeah, dude, like seriously, growing up, people ain't trying to be your friend. They're picking on you. Yeah, we've all had the fucking names.
Yeah, especially mine. I'm like, dude, like, you can butcher mine fucking 10 different ways, and you know, kids will find the most randomest shit to pull out their ass and shit. And I'm like, man, all right, well, I guess I got to take it.
Yeah, once I became Schmitty, that was my nickname. Shitty was very easy for people to say. Like, it was like, ah, Shitty's here. Shitty, shitty, shitty. Right. So Jamie still runs it. I'm just like, dude, come on. It's 2024. Let's get creative here.
We passed that now. I know, right? We got to create more and shit. I get that distraction over there. It's Schmitty. Well, it's Schmitty. Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah, I get it straight.
Were you born and raised in there, San Diego area?
Yeah. Born and raised in San Diego, just kind of all over, bounced around a lot when I was a kid, just kind of up and down along San Diego. But yeah, SD.
Who were the early like inspos? Were you like a big Donger fan or like who?
Oh, yeah.
Who fired you up down there?
Donger was always dope. Rodney Jones, he was living out here at that time and shit.
Yeah, so yeah.
He was heavy with the crew I was kicking it and skating with at that time. Neil Headings, obviously. Sam Hitz. Man, yeah, there's a lot of random heads too, for sure. All the good local heads too in OB, because I pretty much skated in Ocean Beach a lot.
Right. So
everybody was kind of just there, or OB Park, or the streets, or you know, that. So yeah, locally, yeah, those dudes would be the heads. Yeah, growing up little later too, like, you know, the Kalen and, you know, heads like that though, for sure. But yeah,
eventually probably the mafia dudes, they hold it down tough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, skate with them heavy back in the day and shit, dude. Sessions, those Skate Mafia Saturdays were cracking off like nobody's business and shit.
You done the run, right?
Oh yeah, many times. So that's the classic and shit. Still there. It's still kicking. Concourse is still cracking too. So you know, it's been like over 20 years. You know,
amazing.
So you know, it's probably been, you know, more than that. So
I know. I want to see like 70s videos of the old timers on the plastic boards doing the run, like, you know, like,
yeah, right. Like, yo, like, this is what you still used to be. And then to making it down that whip, you know, right at the end of it, you know, you have to really be on your toes and shit. And then like, dude, I've seen some heavy cracks. I know. Yeah. It gets going. Cause it's like a smooth ride and then it shoots you out like nobody's business. And you're like, oh shit, if you're not ready for it, then you might run into that wall or just slide out or some shit. But yeah, that's the spot. That's a classic SD Sunday spot.
What do you remember? I know it's like the memory bank's not always the best place for us these days as we get older, but what do you remember that kind of sparked it for you? Like, I remember for us, for some reason, I have no idea, like, if it was a video or a magazine or whatever, but we did what was called catamaramming, which was like two dudes putting their legs interlocked. So one dude's, you're basically sitting down facing each other. I think most people maybe know, or they don't know, I don't know, but we had this little hill and we would go down together and turn, and the hallway there was super like smooth. And that's kind of where we learned. Like for me, I just felt like going as fast as I possibly could and keeping control was so like getting to that one level where you're like, if I go faster, I'm fucked. But like, but knowing where that was, like for us, that's what it was about. Like going fast and then doing power slides or whatever, learning that. Tommy Guerrero, I always say, huge influence watching him skate the hills. But like for you, what was it that took it to the next level where you're like, okay, I got a skateboard, this is cool. And then all of a sudden you're like, no, this is for life. Like, this is my shit.
Yeah, I know. Huh? That's always a thought of like the turning point of like, all right, I'm in for life type of shit.
Yeah.
I feel like it honestly stemmed a long time ago when I was really young, because I always had a board around. Like, I've always had just something to ride around in, if it was on my knees or it was just on my butt and just trying to just scoot down the road and shit. But I think probably about like 9 or 10, I think I was like, all right, like I'm doing this, you know, and I don't think anything's gonna take me away from this, you know. And it just kind of kept riding after that. So I think somewhere in downtown San Diego, that's where I was still at. I've always had a board around. That's all I always remember and stuff like that. So I feel like it's always been stuck to my hip ever since and shit. But yeah, turning it up, like I was like, you know, getting the groove of everything, probably, yeah, definitely around 12-ish. And like 11, 12, I was like, all right, dude, like, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like I could get good at something. I wasn't doing any other activities and shit. You know, it was like, you know, baseball and stuff like that. But there was nothing that was going to take me away from that skateboard, though.
Do you think that like when you learned how to ollie, you got good pop and stuff? Like, was that like something that was super pivotal that you're like, holy shit? Because like we always said, when we look at Donger, we're like, that's all I need. If I could ollie like Donger, I'd just do that all day, right? Like,
facts.
But like a lot of people have said kind of when they learned the first kickflip, it was like, once I could flip the board, I was like, oh, this opened up so much in my mind. But right. It all stems from the ollie. I wonder like what you remember as being like more like, I went home and celebrated. I got my first like up a ledge, or like I did a kickflip off of curb cut, or like what it was.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of ollieing up curbs. I think that was like, oh, I could kind of like, you know, slide my foot, I could do little ollies, but it was like I couldn't really have the motion to ollie up the curb. So I would like dedicate myself, because it would be like me and my moms, and we'd walk, she'd walk, and then I'd ride my board. But every time she'd walk somewhere, I'm like, I'm determined to get up these damn curbs. And I was not getting up those curbs at anytime soon. But the progression of it was like, yo, now I'm all in up every consecutive curb on my way to the store or whatever. I'm like, yo, now I think I'm getting the groove of it, or the momentum of everything and stuff like that. So for the ollie, for sure, like getting up things, I think that's where it was. It was like the ollie was, you know, the ollie, like, yeah, I'm going to be stoked no matter what. But yeah, like, I think it's like getting up certain things. I was like, yo, okay, this is kind of interesting. I didn't know I could do that. And then kickflips come. And then I think the tray flip was the 360 flip was definitely like, I think the pivotal moment for me of like wanting to do so much more, you know. Like I had the kickflip and it was like cool, and then I busted my teeth on some fucking kickflips, and I was like, and I was over flip tricks for a super long time. But then the tray flip came around, because I was like, I was so determined to get that going, because it took me a while to do tray flips. And once I got that, I was like, I'm never going to do another trick ever again type of vibe. But I think that was like the direction of like, all right, now I'm progressing in a way that I didn't really see, or even, you know, like, but it was there, because I, you know, you never done any of those before and stuff like that. But just the progression and repetitive and just being consistent about it, I'm like, wow, okay, well, I didn't know I could have a mindset like this. And then now I'm like, all right, let's go and shit. So yeah, the tray flip was definitely, I think, a pivotal moment for me. And then I'll still be doing that till I'm 75. All right.
Fuck yeah. I mean, what do you think the key to a tray flip is? Like, what was it that you learned that you didn't have it, and then you're like, ah, that's in that, now you got it.
Right. The whip, I guess the whip of the back foot. It was like, my placement, you can place your foot anywhere on the board, really, you know. But you know, for obviously you're a little kid, so you're placing your foot way lower than normal. And I think I was always having trouble getting it all the way around. And it was like, And it was like, how do I figure this out? Like, I got to figure little key things that I'm doing wrong. Like, it's not flipping all the way, or it was just not rotating all the way. It was like almost, but I wouldn't get my weight up, or I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't move to the side. There was just certain things that it just wasn't working. And then, it really did take me a long time for it. Like, as a kid, I was like, months and shit. That wasn't just – nothing really came easy for me. Everything I had to work my ass off for. And then once it, like – and it's funny because, like, once I, like, got it, I feel like it just clicked. And I'm like, I need to do it like this every time. And that's when you figure out, like, oh, I need to place my foot like – or I need to do this, or I need to – this is where it's at. And then it was like – and then it just kept – working. I'm like, oh damn, I'm doing them now. And and it's just like, then you just never forget. It's like, it's muscle memory and just having that pinpointing mindset of like, I'm gonna get this the way I kind of like it and the way I think it's right. And then when I do it, I need to just figure out how to keep doing it like this.
Okay,
that's where that's at. I was in a garage, just some homie's garage, just repeating. Me and him just going back and forth trying to do it and shit.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, stuck it. I'm like, oh, and then I just never wanted to do nothing else again. and then just kind of kept working more. And then you got stronger, and then you growing taller and shit. So you got more to it. And then you find new ways to do it and shit, you know, and then you develop your own little steed to it.
Who do you think out there has who's one of your favorite tray flips?
Shit, that's a tough one. Man, the battle begins. Oh, shit. Who was I always fucking stoked on? I mean, obviously, Kalis. Kalis is, you know, everybody better not ever enter a conversation without Kalis' name. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Damn, so many, man. Shit. It's crazy because it was always, now it would be considered fake Steve. It's so weird the way we do the little tray flips, but Carlos De Andretti, the Brazilian homie, he was, but you couldn't fake how he did it though. That's why I was like, yo, like what? I never seen it like that, but he used to do it at contest and street.
Yeah.
Do it. Best one was like mini ramps just to fakie and stuff. I'm like, yo, nobody doing it like that. Like at that time, nobody was doing it like that. And it's like, you're like, oh, this is different for a tray flip. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to get that front foot catch and then have that back foot off and then kind of just click to it right at the last minute and then boom, right away. I was always kind of like just fascinated by his shit. For sure.
I remember he was a contest machine.
Yeah, he was something else and shit. And he was a tiny guy
little,
too.
Yeah.
Yo, but he was the nicest dude too. I met him a few times. I got a chance to meet him a few times and he was always super cool and shit. So
fuck yeah.
Those dudes are fucking the best.
What was like an early memory of like getting one of your first boxes delivered to your house? Like fuck.
First box I ever got was very random, very out of nowhere. I didn't have much going at the time. I was just like a grom skating. I was like bouncing through households and shit and just kind of just floating and shit. And it was around Skateboard Heaven. You remember Skateboard Heaven?
Mm.
Skateboard Heaven days though, but they had a skate park in downtown and shit. It was before the Petco Park was built, the stadium was built and shit. And it was with the big DC vert ramp.
Yeah.
Big old DC vert ramp with Danny Way and all those heads and shit. But I was skating there one day and the homie Ivory, which I used to film with all the time back then. Well, I didn't really film much. I only had like two tricks to my name, basically. Like, literally, I was just at the skate park or just skating the street before the skate park was built. So I'm like, who's filming? I don't know how to fucking film no tricks. Like, I'm just skating and shit. And I guess Adrian Mallory had sparked homie to like, yo, go film a dude. Like, try to get something going. And like that one day I got like three tricks and shit. And that was my tape. That was a footy tape. You know, that was like, I didn't know what the fuck that was. So I'm like, all right. A couple days later, homie shows up to Skateboard Heaven. I'm skating the skate park, rolls in with a big ass box. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, this is yours, dog. I'm like, from who? I don't, what are you talking about? Like, and it happened to be Pig Wood at the time. They were starting Pig Wood. Josh Beagle, and he had plugged in with Josh, and he had shown him a couple clips, and they were already starting a team based around a couple other heads. And it was kind of like, yeah, they want you on, basically. I'm like, what? Like, okay, like, fuck, I guess, shit, fuck.
Yeah.
Let's go skate, I guess. Didn't know how to really respond, but yeah, that was like, that was the first bigger box on that tip of like a big box. But my very first box, it was the local homies. It was fucking Frozen Jeff. Yeah, Frozen. Jeff, Frozen Skateboards. That was my first like local homies that were doing it with like, you know, his whole thing that he was trying to do for like the local heads and shit. That was like a
couple. Was it a shop?
No, it was just like just a local homie that just wanted to, you know, make boards and do his thing. And he was known around town already and shit too. And so he was cool. Fucking Jeff was the homie. He fuck kicked down. He sent me to contest and shit too. And he definitely did a lot fucking my early upbringings, and especially at the skate park, because I was always stoked. I'm like, yo, I did this trick. Yeah, you stoked on me, dog.
Oh, okay.
Little kid type shit, but yeah, he was the homie and shit. He was definitely the first few skateboards that I had to ride that kicked down and shit. And then and I never had new boards like that at the time and shit. And then damn, yeah, timelines. See, I'm trying to fit those timelines back in and shit. I was on a Germ skateboard for like a blip, like for like 3 months. And then about business and shit, and I'm like, fuck.
Who is on that? Was Hewitt on that?
That was T-Bone's company. That was Tyrone Olsen's company and shit.
Oh.
Right after Osiris, they had kicked him some shit, and then he started. And I think that was like a year or so that they did it, and then it went out of business and shit. But it was like Tyrone, Brian Emmers, Matt Brode, and a couple other heads I forgot. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about the pig video. It was called Slaughterhouse, right?
Slaughterhouse, brother.
Dude, that thing's pretty sick. I was just kind of viewing it this morning to get, like, you know, like we said, our memories aren't always great. But I forgot, like, dude, Lizard King, Slash, Baka, Ragdoll, yourself, yeah. Like, The video's sick, actually. Like, Slash's part is insane. You're like, wait, is that Slash? You know, he's like a little different, skinnier, like version of him. Got black hair sometimes.
Right. Baka, you know, that shit was, you know.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
times.
That's when those dudes came onto my radar, and I'm wondering, like, was that kind of your first experience with them? Like, do you remember meeting Lizard for the first time and Baka for the first time and all that?
for sure. So when Pig started, it was originally Adrian Mallory, Adrian myself, and Charlie Castelluzzo. So those were the original three that was like, all right, we're going to push these three, and then we're going to add people as we go. And then they added Slash, like a few months later, and then we took a trip out to Vegas to visit Baka, Sammy, and shit. To like, oh, let's go check this dude out. Like, he's pretty dope. Adrian found him. Like, Adrian found him at Desert West, or no, I don't know what park. Fuck, I forgot. Desert Breeze, one of those Vegas local parks.
Yeah.
I guess Adrian was skating and then kind of saw Baka and shit and was like, yo, you should probably fuck with this dude. Let's go take a trip out to Vegas, and met with Baka and skate with him all week. I think we're out there for a week. But it was rad. He was fucking, he's a character, bro. He's dope.
Like, Sammy's the homie.
Instantly, like, yeah, we got some good memories together and shit, dude. That whole crew and shit, dude. Like, yeah, me and Baka are fucking the homies, though. Like,
hell
he's
yeah.
The man and shit, dude. He's the fucking man. And he killed it, too. You're like, yo, how the fuck is this dude just skating so good? Just like out of nowhere and shit, and just doesn't give a fuck. Like, all right, like, yeah, put his ass on. And he has a great attitude. Yeah, fuck yeah. He's the man and shit. And then Lizard got on, I think around that same time. Yeah, around that same time and shit. Lizard's fucking amazing too and shit. And he had crazy pop too at that fucking
moment. Yeah, airwalks everywhere.
He was on Green Room for fucking life and shit.
He was already Green Room and fucking Ruby out.
Yeah. And then Ragdoll. Yeah, Ragdoll was like the premier, I guess, pro at that time that they actually added, because it was all kind of AMs. It was just an AM company at the time. And then they're like, all right, let's add a pro. Let's get it going. And Ragdoll came on at that time. And then Nuge came on like literally like the last leg of everything.
Oh, Nuge was on there too?
Yeah, fools may not know, but Nuge was on Pig Wood for like the last leg of it. Like, not much. I think he might have had an ad, and then that was, and then it, then something happened, and it fizzled out. I think Josh Beagle ended up leaving the company, and then it just went to shit after that. So
it was out of Tumieto, right?
Yeah. We did the video though. That was it. I think that was dope. You know, it was an interesting mix of people and shit. So it was like, yo, like, you got me, you got Charlie, you got Adrian, you got Baca, you got Slat. You're like, you're like, what the fuck is this video going on here, dude? Like, and then it's me because I'm like, I'm the only one that's playing like hip hop and fucking rapping the whole fucking.
You had MF Doom, right?
Yep, MF Doom. R.I.P. MF Doom. But yeah, that's. Tuesday. I love that shit. So, but it was good. You know, we sat in and, you know, we all kind of had a chance to, you know, sit down and see where all our parts at. And, you know, Beagle was very hands on with a lot of things. And the premiere was fucking dope. And man, yeah, that was definitely, you know, classic for me.
Was that your first video part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First introductory of just whatever it was going on and shit. And, yeah, it was cool. It was quite
crazy.
It was kind of last minute too, because everyone was just like, all right, we're making a video, what y'all got, cool. And like, all right, like, we went on a couple trips and shit, we stacked fucking 10 heads in one fucking hotel room and shit, and
right,
it was slimy at that time.
who would you film with? Were you filming with Shakus, or who's your film?
It was a couple Tumieto filmers.
Okay.
I think this dude, Greg, I forgot his last name. And then I was mainly filming with Ivory a lot.
Ivory, yep.
Yeah, I just go out with Ivory. Like, that was like my go-to dude. And that's pretty much, you know, he picked me up and we go out and do our thing, or, you know, whoever else, Rhino would be around and shit. And
stuff. Oh, did you know Rhino early?
Yeah. I've known Rhino since I was like, 12.
Oh, 13. Okay.
I was young. I went on my first trip with Rhino, a bunch of heads and shit, to Arizona. It was like fucking 13 people deep and shit, dude. And like, they had asked permission for my mom's and shit. But yeah, it was a car full of fucking adult, fucking grown heads. And I'm like the fucking, you know, the kid, you know how it goes and shit. And that was quite a time.
Was that when Rhino was living with P-Stone at Andy Mack's?
I believe so. You know, Rhino's a fucking, you know, good talker, and he like persuaded my mom, like, everything's gonna be cool. We got him, like, he's safe, you know.
Yeah. you feel like you're in good hands with Rhino. He'd be the great like TM dude that's just coming in and be like, no, we got this.
Oh yeah, he's fucking dissolved so many random fucking encounters. I'm like, I don't know how we got out of that. But you did it, and goddamn, like, that's the dude you need. If you get into some shit, he will, you know, get you out of some things. I'm like, wow, how the fuck did we get out of that?
I was tripping because I was watching your part in that pig video, and there's the old SF spot that we fucking, man, that thing was so sick. I don't even know how you describe it, but it's just like flat banks with kind of hips and stuff, but you had to ollie up to skate it, but you could also ollie over from the top end, and I think you did like front crooks, maybe like shove it to fakie or something into it.
Crook big spin thing or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Fucking love that spot. That was so dope.
Dude, that place was sick. We used to put like a little board at the bottom and people would use it kind of like a big hip, like launching shit over it. But man, that spot was tight. I was like, damn, you skated that sick.
Yeah, I got to skate that. I got to skate that a few times. Went out to SF a bunch of times, and I think that was like the second trip. But I was like, we got to go back to that spot because it's the fucking sickest spot. You could do, there's so many options and possibilities, and just get creative and learn something new and do something. You're like, yo, that was amazing. And just how the whole layout of that whole spot was, I'm like, man, like, I wish that place was still there too, man. It would be something else. But
that was
one of the funnest spots in the SF at that time for sure, man. Like, I love that shit.
Give me a good Josh Beagle story. Was he kind of like a mentor? Like, is he like a dude that's kind of like telling you guys what's right and wrong? Or like, is he more like one of your equals? Or like, how did you look at him?
Yeah, he was, you know, Beagle's Beagle and shit. You know, he's the fucking, he's the man. He's quite the character too. too many drunken stories. He got kicked out of Vegas. Vegas. Basically, we got kicked out of one of the hotels because we were in Vegas. It was me, Ragdoll, Baca, Slash, Charlie, Beagle. And I brought a homie just like, yo, you come on the trip too. They're down to like, you know, hop in the van and shit.
Yeah.
One night, they're fucking faded. And they come back up to the hotel and I get like, they got hop out of the elevator and we're at like the top story basically and shit. And all of a sudden, I guess like Beagle just punches the fucking window and it breaks. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on here? And like, most of us are in the hotel room and shit. So there's all this commotion and shit. And they're fucking belligerent drunk and shit. I'm like, yo, and like, we're all younger too. And it was a young team and shit. Only adults were Ragdoll and Beagle. Yeah. And like, some time went on and we're like, dude, what's going on? And then the fucking security comes up. And mind you, this is like, seriously, this is like 3 a.m. in the morning and shit too. So we're like, all right, it's still dark. There's a whole commotion for like a little bit. Security comes, all this hotel security, they're like, yeah, y'all need to leave. Like, y'all need to go. And we have like 4 or 5 rooms where like of people. They're like, yeah, everybody needs a dip. We're like, fuck, where the fuck are we gonna go? Like, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. Like, okay. Like, they're like, yeah, get out of here before like if something happens and shit. And so we dip. And we're like, all right, we got to sleep in the van now and shit, dude. And all of us are scrunched in the van. So we drive to we're supposed to do a demo the next day too. We got a demo. So we're in the van just like sleeping and shit. And then like hours go by and the sun's like coming up. It's morning time. We're like, dude, what the fuck is going on? Like, now they got to go back to the hotel because they've left some shit. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be interesting. So we get back to the hotel. And instantly, they're already on high alert and shit. So they're like, they weren't even getting past security, even in the front door and shit. And there's a back and forth commotion between security and all this shit. Ragdoll's yelling at fucking heads. Fools want to fight. And I'm like, dude, this is like 6 o'clock in the morning. We're like, oh, I want to get the fuck out of here. Like, dude, we got a demo right after this. Like, literally, like, got a demo like at 10 or 11 or something like that. And they're like, dude, this is insane right now. We're like going through all night, basically up all night and shit. Dude, these dudes are fucking punched out a window just because they just felt like it. And I'm like, all right, well, and then we dip and we do the demo like fuck a few hours later. And I just remember Fools being so fucking fried after that. Like, Fools weren't doing shit. So. That was just one of very many of fucking just crammed fucking hotel stories and shit.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Beagle's dope. And I actually ended up living with him for probably about a year.
Oh, no way.
I ended up, like, I didn't have a place to stay. I was pretty much homeless and shit. And he was like, yo, like, you stay in my house and shit. I'm like, word? Like, fuck. All right. So put me up for a while and shit and fucking did our thing. And, you know, but yeah, he's definitely a great dude. And, but I haven't seen him lately, though. I'd like to see him soon and shit.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know what he's up to.
I'm pretty sure he's a chef. I think he's a chef, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like a culinary specialist and shit. So last I heard.
I got to go get a steak from Beagle. Right. Somewhere.
Facts, bro. That's a fact, bro.
What was it like getting on Osiris? Because Osiris was like a big deal and – I mean, just in general, getting shoes sent to you is like kind of next level. Like for some reason, boards, wheels, trucks, all that stuff, it's super cool. I ain't putting it down. But shoes seems like, whoa, dude, I'm on some other level when you start getting shoes. And the shoe companies always seem to have more money, so you might be going on a little higher end trips and maybe a little further and traveling a little better and all that kind of stuff. Like, what were those days must have been tight.
Yeah, those days were cool. I had to work my way up on that level. I mean, where we all start, we get, you know, flow kicked down to, you know, hey, you're doing more, and then, oh, hey, we want to train you. Amateur was cool. It was like, now I'm fully on the team. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm getting ads now. I'm like, oh shit, that was a big deal because I didn't really get major ads like that and shit back then. Like, we had a couple of pig ads, which was always dope, but I wasn't, aside from anything else, there wasn't really nothing going on until I got on Osiris. So that was and they were a big push for me and shit at that time. We did a lot and shit, and then that was like the build up. We building up. This is the age of where people or in companies to build people up to have, you know, a longevity of a career. But so that was like key for me. You know, I was like, damn, all right, dude, I could actually take this shit somewhere. You know, at the time, I'm like, you know, mind you, I'm like, what was that, about fucking 16?
Oh shit.
16, 17. Yeah, about that. And I was homeless basically and shit. So I was like, bouncing around from couch to couch. I've been on my own since I was 14. So I was just bouncing around through homies' couches that let me stay on the couch and, you know, on to the next one type of shit, trying to skate, trying to do something. I'm like, dude, I feel like I could do something. Like, nobody sees the vision yet, but I feel like there's something here for me and shit, dude. So. Then Osiris rolled out, and then when Black Label turned me pro, and John fuck gave me a board. That was a game changer for me for sure, you know. So that's when it bumped up to like, all right, now I'm on a pro level. Now, you know, I'm getting paid like a pro and shit. And then now negotiation starts. And then, mind you, I'm like, I'm coming from nothing. Like, I was getting nothing, couple, you know, $100 here and there to like, oh shit, here. I'm like, oh fuck, what the fuck, like. Damn, I don't even know what to do. Like, okay, like, nobody told me about this. I don't know guidance on this shit, but I'm just going to flow and build up from here and shit. And it was moving a lot at the time. We were traveling, like, dude, we're going fucking everywhere and shit. I was gone every month and shit, dude, like, for periods at a time on that.
It was after the storm, right?
After the storm and after another Subject to Change, they had another video after the storm. It was Subject to Change.
Okay.
And then Feed the Need came. So, and once that, I think the Feed the Need basically, because I was amped at the time, and that pretty much pushed me to, you know, another height, and which, you know, eventually John Sherman Pro buy it, you know.
Right.
Oh shit, unexpected. I'm like, fuck, all right, like, whatever you say goes, buddy. Like, yeah, especially from John himself. Yeah, I'll take it, stamp.
Absolutely. Who were the big dogs on Osiris when you got on there? Like, Jerry and them were gone, right?
Jerry was still around. Jerry was still there. Yeah, he was still there for about a year. Then he phased out and he went, you know, did his thing with America. And then, you know, Corey Duffel was still on.
Yeah, baby.
Diego Bisceri was still.
Oh, yeah.
Clint.
The Butcher.
Yeah, the Butcher, the Big Butch. He's dope as hell.
Hell yeah.
Clint Peterson, Rattray.
Oh, right, Rattray.
Brandon was on the time, like, for like a little time. He got back on when I was on, and then something happened, and some weird shit. Osiris, weird shit. They always had some weird behind the scenes shit that didn't sit well with a lot of people over the years, so, you know. But, you know, for the time being, you know, it was a good travels, you know, great people. We were, you know, doing it and shit, you know, and it was unfortunate end of that shit.
where did you go? Like, where was one of the, did you go to Dubai or anywhere fucking super sick that you're like, Jesus Christ, where am I?
Didn't go to Dubai. That would have been crazy. I mean, like, Germany, France, Czech Republic. Forgot all these damn places. It's all a blur now and shit. Spain.
Like Barcelona and whatnot. Yeah,
Barcelona,
right?
Bilbao. A lot of, I went to Canada. Fucking, yeah. They don't like me over in Canada, dude. No, the customs don't like me, dude.
They don't like any Americans in Canada. Man, it's the hardest place to get through customs, even for everybody. It's like, yeah. But they don't like weed there. If you bring weed, you're, yeah.
Anything. I had like a little, I had gotten in a jam like years prior. Like I got locked up and nowhere near Canada or anything and shit. But whatever was on your record, it still pens for 10 years. Even the most littlest thing, little minor ass things and shit will still be on record. It's still like a DUI and all that shit. But I didn't have any of that. I just had something else. And I was like, so I fly to fucking Canada thinking that I'm going to get in. They're like, hold up, buddy. Like, yo, what? There's nobody else in the airport, too. And I'm like, why y'all stopping me? Y'all let everybody, all the rest of the team went through, but me. And I'm like, why? Pull me into the office. I'm like, yeah, see, this says you have a rap sheet. Like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, you went to, like, that was 5 years ago prior to me being here. What does this have to do with anything? They're like, well, then they told me, like, their whole fucking laws. I'm like, for real? Nobody told me this before and shit. So basically, like, yeah, we're going to have to send your ass back and shit. And like, what? I just spent fucking hours flying here just to get rejected. But they were like, all right, since whatever and shit, they like, basically, I had to pay a little fucking a visit fucking tax. They're like, yo, basically, yo, slide us $200 and we'll let you in for 10 days basically and shit. And I was like, what, for real? So I had to fucking pay out of pocket just to slide into fucking Canada for 10 days. And then after that, they're like, yeah, if you stay any longer, we're going to take your ass to jail. I'm like, what? Like, dude, they're stern about it. They weren't even like sugarcoating shit, dude. I'm like, bruh, like, what the y'all are wild over here. Y'all never been, no, don't get me started. Okay, let me just take my shit, do what I need to do, and dip back out. And then, but yeah, I tried to go to Canada again, like, probably a little while after that. Yeah, they denied me after that.
No way. Oh, yeah, man.
They were like, nah, you're gone. And set my ass back home. I'm like, fuck, never been to Canada again. Sorry, see, y'all.
It's the thing. I always say, like, I love Canada. I love it. It's beautiful. And the people are super cool there and nice and everything. Mm-hmm. But the border, like getting in there, always gave me anxiety. Like the flight's only like, I think it's like 2.5 hours to get to Vancouver from SF. But like, dude, one time I got off the plane and they were filming a reality show called Border Patrol. So the whole thing is like they're trying to dramatize fucking with people, and I'm like, dude, I'm already got anxiety, like I hate this shit, like what the, and they're like, why are you here, why you got your camera, like what's all this, blah blah blah, are you trying to make money, what are you doing, blah blah blah. I was like, dude, I'm going to a contest, I'm here for like 5 days, like and it just it was always like almost every skater I was with had to go to secondary and got strip searched, and I was just like, dude, this is kind of a lot for fucking so
they're tripping and they know they could do that shit and you're like, fuck, what you gonna do?
It's a power trip. You feel defenseless. You're like, holy shit. I'm like,
yeah, whoa. Yeah, you got no say in anything. You're like, just take it and whatever they're gonna do with it, fucking be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Crazy. But
I know you got into filming. I'm wondering if that was maybe the time where you kind of start getting into filming, because are you living with Russell Houghton for a minute?
Yeah, I was living with him for a while, a long time, even before I was like, you know, starting to do a lot of things. He took me in and I started filming with him a lot. That was the feed the need. He filmed everything, everything. And I was just sitting. I was sitting in the bay with him for hours, locked in the dungeon, just watching him fucking just, you know, create, do his thing. You know, he was cool enough to, you know, let me know a few things, give me some info. And I'm just interested. And I'm like, yeah, let me see what you're doing here. Let me see how you edit. Let me see.
Yeah.
You know, over here. Cause he's amazing, bro. Like I think he's one of the dopest dudes, and fools don't even know and shit. Like, fools know. Man. If you know, you know. But Russell is one of the dopest dudes out and shit.
He was always pushing the thing. That shit where he did, like, they were skating the spot, I think, in slow-mo, and everything else is, fucking time-lapse behind it. He would always do shit where you're like, wait, how the fuck did he do that?
Yeah, and then he say, "Oh yeah, this shit took me 6 hours to do one clip for a 6-second clip took you six or something out. Damn, like, bro, I mean, that's next level of dedication. I'm like, I'm inspired by that shit because I get inspired by the things that I see. Then I'm like, yo, some of the things that he does too that I'll implement and some of the stuff that I'm like, yo, that's dope. I want to try to do that too. And, you know, I definitely took a lot of inspiration with him and in video and how he sees things, angles, and just the drive and motivation and shit. So I'm like, yo, like, I'm interested. So yeah, I picked up a camera too. And, you know, I was traveling a lot. So I'm like, I'd skate with all the, you know, the best heads out at that time and shit. And I'm like, fuck, I get to travel with them. Why not, bro? Like, I'm going to take photos. Like, I got hard drives of shit that I still haven't even, like, shown nobody that I have stuff of, like, photos and videos of dudes from 10, 15 years ago just skating shit and, like, always trying to find something to put it somewhere to do with it and shit. But but it was always something so interesting to, you know, be around. And, you know, it's like once in a lifetime type of shit for, you know, in our space too. You know, I want to capture the moment for, you know, most of these dudes, even though, you know, Rhino's in the background doing his thing or whoever. I'm just, you know, I'm in the background not doing nothing. It ain't going nowhere. It's going to my hard drive.
Right, so yeah.
They were cool enough to let me do my thing in the background and shit. And, you know, I knew the assignment and shit. I know what it takes. You know, I know not to leak nothing.
Yeah.
Leak it and push it out there because they want to be the first to do the shit. And it was different at that time. It was like, yo, it was serious shit when you'd actually fucking leak something and you're like, yo, they're using it for something, like, you can't do that, like, let them do their thing. But yeah, it was always something in the background that I like to do and shit. And then I do it a little more now and, you know, kind of implement it for myself and whoever's kind of cool and, you know, creative and got something going. And, you know, it's always fun and interesting to find the eye and, you know, create something out of it.
What's something that you took from Russell? Is there anything that sticks out that you remember that he kind of taught you or anything that you learned from watching him?
Shit, fucking, I mean, yeah, visually, I like learned a lot of editing and like just things from him, even asking questions of like, yo, what's this, or camera equipment, lighting, fucking, and, you know, just pushing limits to it. I think right after, it was before, it was definitely ahead of its time, but he filmed a video purely off the iPhone. And this is before, like, all the iPhones were, like, they were good, but nobody was, like, doing it like him in this space of, like, yo, we all have to film off of fucking, you know, VX1000, VX2000s to, you know, the fucking Sony cams and shit, HD. But he was pushing the limits of, like, I'm going to film this whole project. I'm pretty sure it's a New Balance project. But he filmed all with the iPhone and just various lenses. And I'm like, damn, how he did everything. I'm like, bro, obviously he's a wizard in post and shit, and he'll fucking make that shit look amazing. No matter what you shoot it off and shit. And it was just like, yo, after that, I'm like, I could do everything off my fucking phone. Fuck this. That's where it's going to. But it was before, like, anybody was really filming a lot of stuff on their phone, which, you know, people are still not doing it as much. But if you go look back at his project where he just filmed this segment off a phone, you wouldn't even believe it was off a phone. You're like, yeah. And before the phones looked this good now, you know? So that was one thing. It was like, damn, like, I think that's some next level shit. And of like, I could do it myself because I'm self-taught on a lot of shit. So I'm like, yo, I need to, I'm not as fucking good as this dude, but I'm trying to like emulate little things that I'm like, okay, I could progress at it and take certain things from him and just implement it myself. And hopefully, you know, I could aspire to be as good as this guy and shit and just have that vision too and stuff like that, you know, without all the crazy fucking camera equipment that he got. I'm like, he got that red, he got production worthy shit. So I'm like, yo, I'm the skater. I'm not the full-time videographer guy. I'm the hobbyist and shit. So
yeah, for real.
But eventually, though, no. I'd like to make little short films and stuff like that. I've been kind of interested in a lot of stuff that like that lately, and I've been filming some music videos lately too. It's been pretty interesting.
Oh yeah. Like hook up like a rap video or something recently I saw on your Instagram, right?
Yeah, for the homie and stuff like that. So I always felt like that was a cool little thing and fun to edit and shit, because I can just play around with a lot of shit. And it's like it's different too. It's kind of the similar of like how skate editing and skate videos are, but it's a little more intricate and visually and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's kind of just fun to play around with and shit. And because I see a lot of stuff, I'm like, yo, I could do that. And then I go to do it, I'm like, oh, I did that. And then I'll do something, I'm like, oh, they did it too, because I just thought of it. I didn't think I was going to see it, but they did it too. So I'm like, all right, I think I'm in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think I always look at stuff, you know, as a filmer, and I'm like, whoa, that yeah. I could do better than that. Yeah, not the hate or nothing, but it was
more power to them. It's all about, you know, your connections and who
absolutely.
You do your shit and not knocking that. That's great opportunity, but then it's just like it gives you, you know, motivation and hope for like things that like, oh, I can see that for myself, you know, no matter what we're doing and shit, dude, no matter what we're filming. So we're like, all right, I could probably do that. Like I see some movies, I'm like, I could film a movie. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's a dream. That's a fucking dream.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.